Thank you very much. I'd first like to thank Glenn and Russ for having me speak today. This is the work that I did with Jocelyn Millar as a master's student in his lab, so it's a really, really lovely honor to be here speaking with you today. And as Russ pointed out, I'll be talking about Mergantia histrionica. And I didn't realize, well, I guess I did realize, but everybody would be doing a, you know, a brief overview of stink bugs, so I'll just go through it really quickly. But majority of stink bugs are plant feeders. They cause abortion of developing fruit, they cause lesions on fruit surfaces, and they cause the destruction of seeds, grains, and legumes. They have piercing, sucking mouthparts, and they inject saliva and enzymes into plants, thus facilitating the transmission of disease and pathogens. And oftentimes, they feed on weed hosts and mass migrate into crops of economic importance. So here are some of the usual suspects, the Chlorocroas, the Sayi, Ligata, Annuleri, Acrosternum, Nazara, and then the Thianta, Plutovirens, Cousteter, another Plutovirens. And just to go briefly over the basic reproductive biology, the sex pheromones are produced by males and attract females and sometimes nymphs from a distance. At close range, males court females. They antennate, they headbutt the females, trying to get the female to raise that abdomen for copulation. And then they also communicate via abdominal vibrations. And copulation can oftentimes last from a few minutes to 160 hours, where they'll remain paired for a very, very long time. And in this long, prolonged copulation, sometimes males can transfer 10 to 20% of their body weight to the female, as in the case with Thianta plutovirens, which is significant. And females mate every few days, laying eggs in between that time, and males and females mate multiple times throughout their life, many, many times. And the males are choosy. They select the largest females to produce good eggs, use their sperm. But I'm going to be talking about the harlequin bug, Mergantia histrionica. It's a lovely little bug. Here's the eggs, very cute, little barrel shapes, and the nymphs all clustered around the eggs, as Jay would like to see. And here's a later instar nymph. And these are the adults on cauliflower in colony, and they're just a lovely bug, just very attractive. But the vibrational signaling in stink bugs is that close range, those close range cues, and adult bugs have tympal organs stretched across the ventral surface, and they produce vibrations around about 100 hertz. And these vibrations are transmitted through the legs into the plant stems, and the vibrations are detected by special vibroreceptors located in the legs of the receiving bugs. Now, these songs are produced by males and females both, and the songs are transmitted through the plant, as I mentioned, and they are not airborne. They are solely through the plant. And they're probably species-specific. I say probably because there's a lot of overlap, as Glenn Bagwell, who did a master's degree also with Jocelyn Millar, has shown some overlap with that, but there's differences in the spatial and temporal patterns of those. But the songs include calling, male to female, female to male, courtship, copulation, and rivalry songs, male to male, fighting over a female through the plant. I think that's very interesting. And just to give you an idea of the temporal structure, these quantitative, and this is what it looks like, the pulse duration with the pulse repetition time, distinguishing like how frequently that song comes. And I was going to play, and then actually it's probably a good thing that we don't have a volume control, because these are kind of long songs, and if I were to push play, for some reason I can't get it to stop. So it'd be like 5 minutes of bugs, and I was thinking that maybe I could mimic it for you, but that might be too much. That's all right. I don't think I could do it justice. So the harlequin bug in general, just some general information about it, it's highly aggregative, and it's found clumped in the field, as most stink bugs are found clumped together. The defensive chemistry was looked at by Jeff, and the biology and reproductive behavior, I tidied it up and went over the courtship and copulation and the durations of that as well with my master's degree. And the egg parasites, there's a number of egg parasites. And I'm going to be talking about the pheromone chemistry today, and I promise I won't put up as many chemical names and structures as Jeff did. And so I mentioned that the mating behavior, they have the short range and long range cues, and I'm going to, and the sex pheromone, or the aggregation pheromone in this case, is the long range cue, as I mentioned. So I'll just briefly go over the bioassay and identification, just how we go about doing this. So the bioassay setup is a vertical glass Y tube with a bioassay, with purified air being pumped into it, There's always host material. With this insect, all of the preliminary research I did, which took quite a long time to figure out, that nothing really would happen. They would behave very oddly unless there was always food present. So that was a stumbling block that was really great to get over. There's two general setups to the bioassays: bioassays with live insects as an odor source, or bioassays with chemical extracts. And here's a picture of the bioassays with live insects. So the live insects would be contained up here, where purified air is being pumped in at a predetermined rate. Purified, it's passing through a charcoal filter. Whoops, how do I go back?
Right hand side.
Sorry about that. It's being passed in. There's bugs in here in this chamber. And then this arm comes down to this side of the Y-tube, and likewise on the opposite side to this side. And then the bug is introduced at the bottom. It's then closed. And then there's a flow meter that pulls out. So if this is set at 1 liter per minute, this is set at 1 liter per minute, this pulls out 2 liters per minute. So the air is being pulled through the system at equal rates. So then the bug is introduced, and then it makes its choice. With the bioassay extracts, there's food present. As I mentioned, there always has to be food. So we just put cauliflower up in here, and then we suspend the chemical extract spotted onto filter paper, and we suspend that in one of the arms with the control on the opposite side. Again, airflow being pulled through, and the bug is introduced in the bottom. So it was very interesting with the attraction to live odors from the live bugs. Here's the stimulus on the bug. Stimulus on the bottom with males and females, and you can see that the responders, both males and females, respond to the effluent produced by males. But the effluent produced by females, neither males or females are interested in that. So collecting these volatiles, Jeff mentioned aerations. It's basically a chamber. It's very similar to what I had showed you with the bioassay setup, where the purified air is pulled in, and then there's another little collector that traps the volatiles that are produced by the plant or by the substrate, whatever food is in there, as well as the insect that you're aerating. So basically collecting those volatiles onto a charcoal plug. And then with these studies, 5 bugs were aerated for 48 hours, and volatiles were collected on activated charcoal. And then these charcoals were eluted or rinsed with 500 microliters of methylene chloride, which is a strong solvent to strip everything off of that charcoal. And then gas chromatograph coupled mass spectroscopy was used to analyze all of these extracts. Whoops, gosh. Sorry. So this is a GHC trace of the crude extract produced by males and females. So here you can see this is a food product here, and this is a females also produce. This is tridecane, but this was a lovely little peak here that was very male specific, and this was the peak of interest that we would like to look at. Came out about 17 minutes here. So just to give you an idea of what this looks like, it's nice and clean, which is good. So I also wanted to see if there was any kind of temporal pattern to this production of pheromone, and you can see that there is a definite peak about midday, and then with that tapering off. Now this tapering off could be because they produce less of it, or that pheromone is then kind of deposited on the cuticular waxes and then just kind of volatilizes away as the day goes on. But this pattern also corresponded very, very nicely and conveniently to the sexual activity of males and females in the field or in the laboratory. So these extracts, so I'm talking about all of these crude extracts. Well, how do we find that one little peak that came out at 17 minutes? So these extracts are fractionated. So we pool them all together, and then we separate them out, concentrate them first by fractional distillation, to burn off all that solvent. And then we fractionate them by using liquid chromatography, and we use those bioassays. So what does that look like? So the whole extract, if you were looking at the whole extract, and these are females responding to males, because males are producing this compound. So this is all based on females. So the whole extract is quite attractive. And then as we fractionated in the 100% ether fraction, that's where that peak that came out at 17 minutes was located. And that was quite attractive. And then we combined the remaining fractions together, which proved to be repellent to the females. So this is very interesting. So further on, we took that active fraction and compared it to the crude extract. So basically an aliquot of the normal junk that's in there, and then to that purified and that 100% ether. And you can see there's no significant difference there. So that was also encouraging. So then we wanted to isolate this compound. So we purified it. We subjected it to, I should say Jocelyn subjected it to microchemical tests. And we did a lot of NMR experiments. And I won't go into detail on these because they can get quite complicated. So trying to identify what this compound is and piecing all of the information together.
10 minutes.
Oh, great. I talk fast. I'm sorry. I'll try to slow down. Piecing all of the information together with the GC and GCMS traces, the retention time, it came out about 17 minutes, was as well as there was a loss of water in this methyl cyclohexadiene fragment, also came off in that mass spectra. I didn't show you that, but And then the microchemical test proved to be very helpful in indicating what kind of functional groups were present. And then those NMR experiments, as we went over that spectra, was very helpful in elucidating what was going on. So this is the structure. Morgantiol is what we decided to call it. And Jeff had talked about the chiral centers, about how they look left and right-handed. And this compound has 4 chiral centers. And it's actually very nice that Jeff showed a number of these bisabling kind of structures that kind of you see over and over again with these stink bugs. And then the couple functional groups here. And then these chiral centers are located all throughout the plant. But this one in particular, kind of when we were going through the in creating a synthetic mixture, it was at this center here that we based the differences on. And it was actually very interesting that the insects were able to respond to a racemic mixture, so a mixture of the left and the right hand of the S and the R of this. The insects were able to respond to a mixture of those compounds, which is encouraging. So they're not as specific in particular that the other compounds won't repel them, but there's some that if it is present in there, then they will respond to it. So just in summary, you guys will have a little bit of a longer break. The vibratory signals, males rather than females, initiate communication. And this vibratory work was done by Andrei Čokl in the Slovenia group and Meta Vira Doboland. And Andrei comes out to UC Riverside and works with Jocelyn just about every year and works on some of the vibratory signals there. And they lack a long-range calling song found in other pentatomid plants. So I'm talking the vibrational signaling. They don't have a really long temporal pattern of their songs like other stink bugs do. And their pattern of reproductive activity very conveniently and nicely corresponds with the production of Morgantiol. So this identification of the aggregation pheromone, it's aggregation because males and females are both attracted to it. It's male specific. And the actual chemical name, I'll just let you look at that. I won't try and tell you what it is, but we just decided to call it Morgantiol. And when we were first talking about this compound, Jocelyn said, well, why don't you name it Deaniol? And I said, well, how about Jocelyniol? And he went, Morgantiol's fine. So along more further with the identification, the structure has 4 chiral centers rendering 16 possible stereoisomers. So there's a large variety of isomers. But so it was the fact that that the insects will respond to a racemic mixture was crucial in identifying that this compound was indeed the attractive one, because this is a lot if you know much about trying to separate these chiral groups and on a chiral column, and it's very tedious and quite difficult. And as Jeff pointed out earlier, they don't really come apart very easily, so it's really hard to tell what's going on. And that active fraction I showed you, that 100% ether fraction, was as attractive as the crude extract, indicating all of the biological activity was there. And the recombination of the other fractions was repellent. And the synthetic mixtures, I didn't show you this slide, but when Jocelyn and Jardel synthesized the mixtures, they were more attractive than the crude extract. So that was the smoking gun there. I thought this talk would be too long, so I cut a bunch of slides, but then I remembered how fast I talk. So I'd really like to acknowledge Jardel Moreira. He was one of the authors on this talk, but Jardel has gone back to Brazil, and I quite miss him. He's just a really lovely character. So this is Jardel. And Steve McElfresh has been the staff research assistant in Jocelyn's lab for ages, and he's just very helpful and instrumental and an extremely knowledgeable guy. And Glenn Blagwell, who was on the on the paper with the vibrational signaling with Andre, and Glenn is a good friend of mine. And then Mariana Krubner, I don't think I would have gotten through my master's, it would have taken a long time without her, because she was the bug rearer, and so she took care of all of the insects, and she really did just a fantastic job, so it's just really lovely. And I was actually wanted to show you guys that people love Morgantia so much that this is a picture of a tattoo that I had found, and I got permission from the person to show you. So the Harlequin bug is actually permanently on someone's body out there. So just to show you how much people love stink bugs. So I just really want to thank Russ and Glenn again, how much stink bugs impact our lives. And as everybody's kind of mentioned so far, that you know stink bugs are on the rise again. So thank you very much. And I'll take questions. I'm sure I've got time.
Questions for Deanne?
Cricket? Yes, sir.
Repeat the question.
Are you folks at Riverside been following this other related stink bug, the grotto? The one that looks just like a merganser and it's on the Crucifer's garden?
Right, so the question was, there's another stink bug that looks just like Morgantia, and have we been following that? And I think that there's a colony going on in the Millar lab, and they're kind of looking at it. It looks a lot like Morgantia, but it's really a lot smaller. The phenotypic characters of the coloring and stuff, I know that phenotype isn't a really good, you know, smoking gun for species identification, but yes, they have a colony of that, and I'm not sure what's going on. I finished my master's degree with Jocelyn, and I'm now working on my PhD in a different lab, in Joe Morris's lab. So I don't know exactly the status of that stuff, but I do know that they are looking at that.
Other questions? Well, I thank you for the last slide.
Thank you very much.